There we go. All right. Good morning again. Title of my message today is called Cleaning the Inside. Cleaning the Inside. Let's pray. Father, you are a great God, Lord. We just ask that you open our hearts to your truth this morning, God. Open our hearts to your word, God, that we may dispel all distractions from our minds, God. We just ask that you help us focus on this message today. God, help me through it. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wanted to mention, every week I do this a lot. I listen to a lot of messages. I listen to a lot of sermons from other pastors. I listen to a lot of commentaries from various, what I call, intellectuals of our day. I listen to a lot of news reports from select media outlets. And today there's so much information available. There's so much available through YouTube and through phone apps and through social media more than ever before. And I recently watched a video from a man named Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager operates an online platform that he calls PragerU, like Prager University. PragerU, and that offers a wide variety of educational content with commentaries from lots of smart people. And Dennis does his own weekly broadcast that he calls Fireside Chats, where he kind of pontificates from his own home next to his fireplace, next to his dog. And then in this one particular video that I watched, Dennis Prager openly stated his disagreement with Jesus. He openly stated his disagreement with Jesus regarding the subject of adultery. And if you recall from the famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." That's Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28. And Jesus was referring back to one of the Ten Commandments given by God to Moses and the Israelites way back in the book of Exodus. And that verse comes from Exodus 20, verse 14. "You shall not commit adultery." And as a staunch Jew, Dennis Prager agrees with the original commandment, but he balks at Jesus for what he considers a kind of faulty spin on the topic of adultery. So Dennis agrees that adultery is wrong, but he disagrees with Jesus' position on adultery. And as I watch this video, I see Dennis, he articulates what he calls the typical stance, the typical Jewish position on adultery. And I'll just go ahead and say it. Some folks might find this position to be a bit offensive. I'm just gonna say that. Dennis Prager says that in Jewish circles, it's common to say that you can only commit adultery, quote, with one organ, and that organ is not the heart, end quote. Those words are a direct contradiction to the words of Jesus, and they are intended to be. Dennis continued by saying, "It's not the thought that counts, but the deed." He even continued by saying, as a Jew, he says, "I don't care if you dislike Jews, but I care how you treat Jews." In other words, Dennis Prager doesn't care how people think. He doesn't care about their inner hearts. He only cares about how people act. And while we would all agree that actions are critically important, let's walk this thing through just a little bit. Imagine the Church of Jesus Christ promoting a philosophy that says hypocrisy is somehow a good thing. Imagine the church teaching folks that the only thing that matters is your outward appearance and not your heart. Jesus confronts the Jews of his day for exactly this same attitude that Dennis Prager is promoting in the year 2023. Let's consider for a moment the implications of this kind of skewed ethical belief system that Dennis is promoting. Let's think about the kind of negative effects that it would have. Being a pretender is perfectly acceptable under this philosophy. What you think doesn't matter under this philosophy. How you feel in your heart doesn't matter. Doesn't that sound strange? Consider this. Imagine telling people that it's okay to have malice in your heart towards someone you don't like. Imagine telling people that it's okay for you to hate that person with every fiber of your being. Imagine telling people that it's okay to even fantasize about brutally murdering that person as long as on the outside you're smiling and you're kind to that person. Doesn't that sound strange? You know, I would think that even an atheist would look at that and say, man, there's something wrong with that picture. I think an atheist would say, man, that seems a bit two-faced, don't you think? Well, let me tell you, that atheist would be exactly right. Let us be reminded that less than 100 years ago, the extermination of 6 million Jews by the Third Reich in Nazi Germany was a result of many years of built-up hatred and anger and racism and malice against the Jewish people. And when the Nazis finally came to power in the 1930s, they began acting on their malice. The evil that the Nazis brought upon the world was unprecedented, and that evil began in their hearts. The Nazis' decisions to commit these atrocities, these were not spur-of-the-moment ideas. These were decisions that were carefully considered over many months and many years with malice aforethought. And in addition to the genocide of 6 million Jews, the Nazis also executed 5 million other people that came from other ethnic minorities. This mass murder committed by the Nazi regime was premeditated and executed with precision and hatred in their hearts. And as one pastor once recently said, our God is not impressed by our hypocrisy. He's not impressed by it. When we read the New Testament, we learn there's a reason why Jesus is teaching the Jews to think differently. There's a reason why Jesus is harshly criticizing the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. At the highest levels of leadership, the priests and the biblical scholars, the people like the church today, you know, at the highest levels, they're promoting this same false ethical belief system that says only the outside of the man matters. But as we've learned from history over and over again, what a man harbors in his heart on the inside can quickly turn to evil on the outside. Jesus gives us a stern warning about hypocrisy in Matthew chapter 23. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open to Matthew chapter 23. I'll get there momentarily. Jesus goes into excruciating details about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And when Jesus talks to the people, he says, don't do what the Pharisees do because they don't practice what they preach. Matthew 23:3. Jesus tells the people that everything the Pharisees do is for people to see. They wear the finest clothing. They love the positions of honor at the banquets. They love being greeted with respect in the marketplace. That's Matthew 23, verses 5 and 6. But Jesus tells the people that these Pharisees, who seem so important on the surface, they seem so high and mighty, they seem so religious, Jesus says, on the inside, they're full of evil. Listen as Jesus continues to criticize the religious leaders of his day. Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 25. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Matthew 23, 25. Words of Jesus. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be cleaned. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Jesus was not pulling any punches with the religious leaders of his day. Jesus is not beating around the bush, so to speak. Jesus is telling it exactly like it is. And I love this analogy that Jesus uses. Clean the inside of the cup, and the outside will already be clean. Don't just focus on appearance. Do the right thing. Focus on God's Word. Don't put on this artificial facade of religion. Put on the right attitudes and behaviors in the heart, Because if you get that right, you don't need to focus on the outside. You know, the Pharisees know that Jesus is a fellow Jew. He had the pedigree all the way back to King David and so forth. And, you know, they know Jesus is a Jew, but in their minds, Jesus is completely changing up the Old Testament law. The law that they've been practicing for centuries. They think Jesus is trying to throw away the Bible and introduce some new philosophy. And they accuse Jesus of a number of crimes, as you know, including blasphemy and making unwarranted changes to the law of Moses. But that is simply not true. When Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, Jesus is not giving them new teaching that they've never heard before. He's telling them their hypocrisy is based on their own misunderstanding of the Bible, their own misapplication of the Bible, which for them is the Old Testament. That includes the law of Moses and the books of the prophets. Jesus is not changing the law. No, in fact, he clearly states he's come to fulfill the law. If you flip back to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5 verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Jesus is trying hard to correct centuries worth of false understandings about the Bible. Jesus is telling them, "I'm not bringing you something new. You've already had this teaching in multiple places in the Old Testament, and yet you've misunderstood it." It was a broken perspective on the law that Jesus is trying to fix, but the religious leaders of the day were only focused on the outside of the cup. And by the way, false teachers misinterpret Scripture every day. False teachers misapply Scripture every day, and I will say sometimes it's through their carelessness. Sometimes it's through deceit. Sometimes they're just doing it for the money. And the Bible says that false teachers are often deceiving and being deceived. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful. Jesus called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. Whitewashed tombs. Everything looks good on the outside, but on the inside of the tomb, there's nothing but death and decay. You know, I thought about what this looks like in our world today. I whenever there's a school shooting, whenever there's a riot in the street where buildings are getting burned down, or, you know, whenever somebody gets murdered by a lunatic in a subway, you know, you'll hear it on the news media all the time. The same question: how could this happen? How could this happen? You see, the media takes on this false perspective that people are innately good. And that if some person commits an evil deed, well, there must be something wrong with that person. Some external force acting on that person to make them commit the evil deed. There must be some chemical imbalance in their brain or something like that. You see, in their minds, an ordinary person isn't capable of committing evil. And when you start with that false philosophy that people are good, you will end up with wacky conclusions like that when bad things happen. In other words, in their minds, even the criminal is a victim. He was simply a result of environmental factors outside his control. The media tries to portray human beings as good people on the outside while ignoring the evil that rages on the inside. How do these evil acts happen? Evil acts happen because people harbor evil in their hearts. And then afterwards they find an opportunity to act. People will eventually act in accordance with the way that they think. School shooters don't just randomly pick a school and walk in. No, they've planned it for months. Evil starts right here in the heart. Proverbs 4 verse 23 reads, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." The Jews knew this verse from Proverbs. And yet this Jewish philosophy that says only actions matter, this philosophy completely avoids discouraging people from having evil thoughts. Amazing. Bearing evil will towards another human is perfectly okay under this crazy ethical system that Jesus is criticizing harshly. Let me ask you a crazy question here. Would we apply this same ethical system towards, say, pedophiles? Would we tell these deranged men, these pedophiles, that it's perfectly okay for them to have sexual fantasies about children, just as long as you don't act on those fantasies? Do we really believe that's a good ethical standard? No. Let me give you a better standard from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mark 12, verse 30. Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength." When Jesus is talking about the heart, he's not talking about the organ that pumps blood through our bodies. No, he's talking about the center of our emotions, the center of our desires, our will, our inner selves. Loving the Lord with all your heart means that your every desire is to please your God. Loving the Lord with all your heart means that we cannot just do some good deeds for a neighbor while at the same time harboring hatred for that neighbor. It doesn't work that way. God sees the heart. The Jews of Jesus' day also knew the words of the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 17, verse 10, God says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." See, there it is again, the connection between the inward heart and the outward deed. And in the very last book of the Bible, Jesus tells us that he is the one who searches the hearts and minds of his people. That's Revelation 2, verse 23. See, we only get credit for doing a good deed when our heart's in the right place. When we do it for the right motive, that only makes sense. We're made in the image of God. We should make sure that our motivations and desires are in line with the Word of God. And as a way of an illustration here, have you ever searched online to find your next vehicle? You know, sometimes you'll see a seller post several photos of a used car that they're trying to sell. And all those pictures can make a car look perfect. The exterior has been cleaned. The car has been waxed. Those tires are nice and shiny. The car looks beautiful on the outside. But what you can't see is much more important than what you can see. What you can't see from the photos is a damaged transmission that needs to be rebuilt. What you can't see from the photos is the wear and tear from 250,000 miles on the original engine. What you can't see from the photos are the brakes and the rotors that need to be replaced. What you can't see from the photos is the damage done to the frame by an accident years before. Only a fool would buy a used car based only on its outward appearance. And yes, I know that's not to say that there are not some good mechanics who'd be willing to buy a car like that that has these problems and then do the repairs themselves. But at an absolute minimum, we want to know exactly what it is we're buying before we buy it. Before we commit to spending money, we want to know what a car is like beyond the superficial, beyond the shiny paint job. We want to know what's under the hood. And let me extend this analogy by saying, God wants to know what you've got under the hood. Jesus told the Pharisees that they were the sons of the devil, even though they claimed to know God and they claimed to be right with God. Let's bring it down to our world today. We humans have a similar tendency to allow our knowledge about God to replace our relationship with God. Are we like the Pharisees who lived in Jesus' time? They knew the scriptures, but they didn't know God. They spent time memorizing Bible verses, but they didn't spend time fixing their own greedy hearts. I'm going to make it even more personal. Are you right with God, or are you just going through the motions? Do you come to church because of the social gathering, or do you come to church to worship God? Do you do good deeds because you want people to see those deeds? Or do you do it because that's what God desires? Have you allowed your knowledge about God to replace knowing God? God knows the truth. God knows the answers to all of those questions. Are you a pretender? God warned us about pretenders when he quoted the prophet Isaiah. Matthew 15, verse 8. Matthew 15:8, Jesus says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Do you know God? Or do you just know about God? Do you have a relationship with God? Or are you just following what your granddaddy told you about God? You're just listening to that. If today you have never made a profession of faith, if you have never been born again, you can do so today. You can begin that relationship with a God who loves you. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you catch that? What matters is what you believe in the heart. And the very next verse, listen to Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess and are saved. Starts in the heart. If you've never come to Jesus for salvation, please do so today. Confess your sins. Turn to Jesus for salvation. But what if you're in a totally different category? What if you're a believer? What if you've been in church your whole life? Maybe you gave a profession of faith many years ago, maybe even as a small child. Are you content to simply know about God? Or do you want to know God? Do you honor God with your lips, but your heart is far from Him? God desires a relationship with you. That relationship goes beyond the superficial. It goes beyond the facade. It goes beyond the shiny paint job that you've carefully set up for everybody to see. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? If you can honestly answer no to that question, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not because God has somehow made himself unavailable to you. That's not the reason. If you're not close to God, it's not God's fault. Maybe you're here in the audience, or maybe you're listening to me online, and you would say, you know, man, years ago, I used to feel so close to God, but now He feels distant. He feels so far away. I promise you that God is standing right beside you. Right beside you. He's right there with open arms. All you need to do is take one single step. One step back towards His loving arms. God has promised us to never leave us. He has promised us to never forsake us. All human beings have an incredible opportunity to intimately know God and not just know about Him. If you're a pretender today, please hear me. It's time to stop pretending. You have the opportunity to have the real thing. Why settle for the pretense when you can have the real thing? And I will say this as I close today. Knowing God and being with Him forever is the absolute pinnacle of human existence. It doesn't get any better than this. The reason we were created, the pinnacle of our existence, is to know God and to enjoy Him forever. Turn to Him today. I promise you will never regret it. Let's pray. Father, You are a great and awesome God. Lord, we are so thankful for the words of Jesus, Father, that teach us so much. Father, Jesus corrected those in the religious establishment, God, who had got it wrong, who had misinterpreted Your word, who had misapplied Your word, who are teaching Your word falsely, God. We are so thankful for the words of Jesus that turn us back to Your word, God. Turn us back to what You have taught us. Father, we're so thankful that Jesus called out the false teachers of His day. And Father, we desire for anyone, Father, who has become, who doesn't know You, God, and desires a relationship with You, God, I pray that You will put on their heart their need for salvation. And Father, for someone who's listening to my voice today who feels distant from You, God, Father, remind them that You are right there next to them. If they're distant from You, God, it's not Your fault, God, it's their fault. God, may You remind them that they just need to take one step into Your open arms. God, we are so grateful that You are a loving God. You are a patient God. You are a forgiving God. You are everything, Father. And Lord, being with You, God, for all eternity is the only thing, Father, that we could possibly, we cannot expect any more, Father. Father, to know You and to love You forever is the absolute pinnacle of our existence. We praise You today, Father. And I pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name.